Judiciary Committee hobbles into session today with the esteemed Representative Gruenberg. Good afternoon.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's true. And Representative Holmes on her way, and Representative Samuels already there, setting the example for all of us. Thank you, Representative Samuels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lynn is joining us. Today we are going to take up House Bill 117 to begin with. Representative Dahlstrom has joined us.
I was able to find the committee members for you.
He detained me in the hallway, Mr. Chair.
And before we get started today, on behalf of the Judiciary Committee, we wanted to point out that to Tom Wright. Tom? You look very handsome today.
Mr. Chairman, you just stole my thunder. That was going to be my first line.
What am I, chop liver?
Representative Lynn, you look very handsome today,
too. Thank you. Thank you. Make a note of that. Where's the clerk?
Okay, so Representative Coghill is flying around. He's out. He will not be with us today, which is our loss, because I enjoy his wisdom in this committee. And you can put that in bold, please. All right, so with that, Tom, we're delighted to have you. If you would introduce this, and then we have is there a CS that you want us to introduce right away, or go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to appear before the esteemed Judiciary Committee. We really appreciate your hearing this bill. House Bill 117, as most bills are, is a simple bill, but of course things can get complicated through the process, and we'll see what happens here. What House Bill 117 does, it gives the governor statutory authority to call a special session, but only with 30 days notification, except in certain instances, and those instances are, say, at the end of a regular session, the governor can call a special session. He can call it within 1 hour of when one house convenes, before the other house convenes, or in the case of a disaster declaration. Those are the exemptions. I just got off the phone with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and they had some concerns. Their concerns primarily were they would like to see 2620-040, which I made copies of and for the committee, which are the emergency powers of the governor. They'd like to have that also incorporated into this bill, as well as the entire statute of 2623-020 instead of 2623-020K. They felt it would be more prudent to include the whole statute instead of that one provision. I'll be happy to try to answer any questions in regards to this bill, and with those two suggestions, I'd encourage the committee to adopt those.
We appreciate that. Are there questions for Mr. Wright? I can't imagine that Gruenberg, Lynn, myself, or Dahlstrom, or Samuels would have any difficulty in conceptually grasping the purpose of this bill, having gone through the unusual ordeal of three special sessions since mid-May of last year. So I'm delighted to see a little special consideration for those of us that signed up for a citizen legislator itch, who are delighted to serve but would like to serve with a reasonable notice period so that we can maintain a quality of life standard outside and around our legislative duties. Are there questions, Representative Samuel?
Thank you. I'd just like to make one comment on the events of the past 8 months. The way that I'm reading legislation, it wouldn't have changed, because we were in session when the Governor Murkowski called us in, except for the last one. Is that
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
And also, I'd just like to make a comment. We talked before the meeting briefly. The legislature can call itself into session with no notice once you get the two-thirds vote of the membership, so a phone tree by the Senate President and the Speaker. So we can call ourselves in, but with that, I think it's a good idea if you're going to have a citizen legislature to have a little bit of notice. You need housing down here, housing in Anchorage, jobs, kids, dogs, everything. 2 weeks sometimes isn't enough. So the 30 days although I do want to make note, it wouldn't have changed the oil tax special sessions that we had.
Right.
Because we were here, we didn't act, we got called again, we didn't act, and we got called again. It would have delayed, I believe, the very first one by 2 weeks. But all in all, we still would have been here except for that last lame duck one. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Simmons. Any other committee discussion?
I'd like to move the bill, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lynn, I appreciate that. We need to hear from McHugh Pierre with the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs. I think he wants to address some of the special powers in the event the state of Alaska was under emergency. Tom, thank you very much. We appreciate your
assistance.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Is McHugh, are you with us?
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir. For the record, my name is McHugh Pierre, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Hi, McHugh, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me? Sir, can you hear me okay?
He's not coming in over the...
Representative?
Let's let you work on that. Is there anybody here who wants to testify on House Bill 117?
he has trouble getting housing too, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah. Dread, get a shot of that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Grunberg.
Yeah, I had some concerns, and I haven't fully gotten them figured out yet.
Okay.
But, I mean, exactly how this will play out in one provision here.
Yes, sir.
And that's on line 7 and 8. Within 1 hour after the first house has adjourned. And that will have some significant effect on the end game politics around here, because one house could adjourn hours or even several days before the second house adjourns, potentially. And this would require the governor to make a decision on whether to have a special session before knowing what the final version of a very important bill might be. And I would like to take a day or so to have that worked out and figured out entirely. I think it should be after the second house adjourns, and I'd say several hours after the second house adjourns. But I'm not totally sure about that. But I think that's too soon.
Let's see if McHugh is with us first, just to get his questions out of the way, and then we'll close public testimony and proceed to committee discussion. And then make a determination whether this is something we can hash out now or we want to come back to, because I'm a little bit concerned about our calendar, whether it's something that we can be addressed. Mm-hmm. McHugh, are you with us now?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay right now?
But he's not coming through the
What's that? Okay. Just for the committee's benefit, we just had a new sound system installed here over the weekend. So I imagine that this is... all right. So while we're waiting for somebody to come, let's move on to committee discussion, and then this could affect bills progressing from committee. The same thing with House Bill 102, which is a simple bill, but we have Dan Hoffman from the Fairbanks Police Department chief that was going to testify. We can't straighten out our sound system for questions. Okay. So okay. Representative,
well, I was going to say, Mr. Chair, I don't have a problem with the bill the way that it is, and I think that I don't know that extra. I hear what Representative Grunberg is saying, but I don't know that extra couple of days or extra couple of hours would make any difference in the outcome of the politics game that is going on sometimes at that point.
Representative Samuels.
I'd like to correct one thing. Not sometimes.
I was being polite.
I would agree with your comments. The governor could call a special session. They can expand the call if something happens when the second house does something you do or do not like. They can withdraw the call. They could take the subjects from the call.
Right.
So if the governor, if the Senate adjourns from underneath the house without passing a piece of legislation or budget or whatever, they immediately call it, and that was sure. That's more notice that we have. Everybody's on notice that you're going to come back whether you you act or do not act. I think, and even if it's when the, you still would know. The governor could still do what they chose to do. Pass the message, I'm going to do this, so you need to address the subject.
Representative Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Part of this is clarification for my benefit, being the one member of the committee who has not gone through the joy of a special session yet.
it's multiple joy.
joys of the multiple special sessions. It looks like under the old language that the governor had to give at least 15 days, even if they no matter when. In other words, even if you were calling a special session immediately at the end of regular session, you would need 15 days notice. And the way that this is worded now appears to eliminate that requirement, because it says unless it's issued under either one of these emergency provisions or issued within 1 hour after the first house is adjourned, it appears that allows the governor to call us right back in the next day. Is that different from how it's currently, and is that an intended change?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding is that that's because we were still in session, the governor could make the call at that point. Had we adjourned, he or she would need to give us 15 days, but it wouldn't have changed anything last year.
So last year, did you go right back into special sessions, for instance, like the day after?
The next day.
Okay, so this basically is not changed.
Mr. Chairman, it's my recollection, having technically the governor is supposed to allow 15 days notice, but the presiding officers and membership have both said, since we're here, we're going to remain on and continue into special session. And according to Ledge Legal, technically the governor really doesn't have to give you 15 days if the governor so desires. It's a statutory. If the governor feels a need, they can set the time, place, at least to my understanding, within a 15-day period.
Representative Dahlstrom?
And, Mr. Chair, I go back to what Representative Samuels discussed earlier. I think the bill, the way it is written, is good, and I think, bluntly, it will help solve some of those end of session games, and whichever body it is that is still in session will realize that they need to deal with it and will probably do so within the hour or two rather than taking 10 or 15 other days.
Or not. They will choose. They will, depends on the subject and the politics of the day. They could say, we've got an extra 2 weeks and we're going to stop. No matter what you do, if it's after the second house, now you've given political advantage to one side or another, depending on how the issue goes. So I think one way is as good as another. Mm-hmm. And right after the first house is done, if the governor says no, Senator House, you're going to address this issue, you send a message to everybody. If they choose to address it then and agree to what the changes the other body made, that's fine. And if they want to play hardball politics and go, no, we're going to drag everybody back, you'd know.
Mr. Chairman, I've been through one of those scenarios before where the speaker actually went up to the governor's office and said, we're not going to do this unless this happens, and we're going to adjourn, period. And, the Senate didn't do what, we tried to get them to do, so we did adjourn without passing a capital budget, and the governor issued the proclamation right away.
Are we setting up with this a situation where the governor is just every year going to automatically issue a special session because he or she isn't going to know what the second body is going to do? Potentially be on the safe side, they will issue a notice of special session that they can then revoke, and that'll just be the way it's done.
Representative Grunberg, you're nodding your head.
That may occur. See, Mr. Chair, this could be, and I strongly support the idea that's behind this, which is to give people notice. But because of this unusual provision here, the 1 hour provision, The governor is not going to know whether key pieces in her legislation will have passed. And to be on the safe side, we'll have to issue more calls. And if they issue more calls, that will force people to stay around because people aren't going to want to wait 30 days and come back. That'll be quite disruptive to their employment in most cases. I'm a believer that for legislation to be good, it's got to look as good coming at you as going with you, having been on both sides, majority and minority. And I just urge people to think the whole thing through. This has got a lot of combinations and permutations, and I've been thinking since this was in State Affairs. We didn't talk much about it in State Affairs because we liked it. And I liked the, but I did have this question about the one-hour provision. I wanted to think about it. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking, but haven't thought the thing through. And I just urge the members to think, since this is the last committee of referral, and it's fairly early in the session, the combination of the way this thing can be used, and I think having 1 hour after the first house has adjourned is subject to a lot of mischief. I'd feel much more comfortable if it were after the second house had adjourned, at the very least.
I appreciate your point, Representative Gruenberg. I also appreciate the point of the bill sponsor, Speaker Harris, who clearly is comfortable with the legislation that he put in. But at any rate, let's take your advice and take a brief at ease.
May I ask a question?
Can we just take a brief at ease?
Sure. Because
we want to fix the communications problem.
Sure.
So we can engage with the off-net. So that'll give us time to... I'm going to call an at ease right now.
Can I ask him a question off the record?
All right, let's go ahead. Do you want to...
Yeah.
Go ahead first.
Was there a reason why you chose through the chair... Why you chose the first house rather than the second house?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gruenberg, that that was at the suggestion of Tam Cook, who drafted the bill. And for whatever reason, I don't know why she instituted the 1 hour. But again, as Representative Samuels pointed out, I mean, anything leads itself to mischief by the administration, but you have to incur, I guess my point would be, if you're going to indulge in such activity, you're going to have to incur the wrath of a legislature at some point. If you're going to, if you're going to use that type of conduct in calling special sessions after special sessions, or I'm going to call this special session because I think we need to do this because I don't know how this bill is going to turn out. In the other instance, also, when you mentioned days before the other body adjourns. You can only be out for 3 days. You may be able to adjourn, but if the other body doesn't adjourn, you have to be back in session, within that third day. So, I guess in my past experiences, and you've experienced, a number of legislatures yourself, that yes, there is some mischief that goes on at the end of session, but usually, rational heads prevail, and everyone kind of gets things together and. It might not be what either side wanted or what one side wanted, but at some point, the legislature manages to finish its business, and even though special sessions are called, within that time frame, something gets accomplished most of the time.
May I inquire?
Yes, Representative Gruenberg.
I would call the members' attention to some things that went on in the other side. Last time with bills getting lost and hidden and stuff like that, which I'm not very proud of. And I'm wondering whether I'm wondering whether the bill sponsor... I can wait.
Oh, can we go just do this at ease? I'd like to get the...
Sure, please.
That's what I'd like to do. Okay.
Plan comes together.
Okay. We have a plan. Let's go, Susan, let's go back on the record, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. The Vice Chair and I have conferred, and we've concluded that we are going to, for a little bit of time, set House Bill 117 aside, pending a fuse. And when the fuse is found, then we will take it back up. And we thought that we would move to, because we value the committee's time, that we would keep you with us because your presence is so greatly appreciated. And that we would go to House Bill 102, which is just an augmentation of the move over bill that we took up last year. And that when we find a fuse, then we will pick up McHugh, pick up Tam, and make an effort to move both of these bills from committee today. Is what we think. Is that correct, Madam Vice Chair? It is. I'll speak on her behalf. It is correct.
You're so right.
Yes, ma'am.
So.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so that being said, Karen, you are presenting for House Bill 102. We have one Chief Police Fairbanks, Dan Hoffman, is available for questions. But I have sat down and spoken with him in Fairbanks on this subject matter, so I'm am comfortable to cover it and to augment your testimony. Karen, if you'd introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. My name is Karen Litster, and I am staff to Representative John Coghill, and he does send his apologies for not being here. HB 102 is a bill that's just going to provide greater protection for law enforcement and emergency personnel who are performing official duties on single-lane or double-lane highways. The legislature originally passed this legislation, and the law stated that on a highway with two or more lanes in the same direction, a driver approaching emergency vehicles would vacate the lane closest to the emergency vehicle or slow to a reasonable and prudent speed. The or clause made enforcement of this bill very difficult. So we are looking at this and trying to make it much more clear and enforceable for the protection of our law enforcement and emergency personnel that are on the highway. So it will give our law enforcement some teeth in a bill that initially was set out to try and protect those people that are out there and on the highways. And I have letters from the Department of Public Safety, as you received, support for the bill from the PSEA, and also we have the representative here from that organization. They support the bill, and Chief Dan Hoffman from Fairbanks is online if you have any questions. Zero fiscal note, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Karen from the committee? Karen, thank you very much. This is a bill that I carried in the 24th legislature and then sat down with Chief of Police Hoffman, sadly, to discover that we left a critical word out of the legislation, which I believe is the word
or
if. It's and and this simply it's or in the title, an act mm-hmm. relating to vacating lanes or slowing down for certain vehicles stopped along the side of the road. And all of us have seen police officers doing their duty, and I've seen in Fairbanks many times people going by them in the same lane or going by at an unsafe speed, and it's one thing when you're in control of your vehicle, you're trying to change a flat tire and you pull over as far as you can, but it's something altogether different if a driver that is pulled over does so in a manner that isn't, it may be safe for the driver but not safe for the public safety official who's standing outside of the driver's door asking for license and registration. And so the concern that was raised was was putting a little bit of teeth into this for the safety of our public safety officers and our public servants. Thank you very much. Is there anybody in the committee room who would like to speak? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony. As I say, Chief Hoffman was available for questions. But if there aren't any from the committee, then I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gruenberg.
Just a question.
Yes.
It's more of a logical question than anything else. In line 2 on page 2, if it's impossible, isn't it by definition unsafe? So I don't know that we need to say impossible also. I think we could simply say prohibited by law or unsafe.
Representative Gruenberg, does it make the bill worse to leave the word impossible in it? Or is it just...
I just don't know that it's necessary.
Mr. Chair, it almost becomes just a semantics game because, I mean, even if there's a car in the lane right next to me, it would be highly possible for me to hit into that car and push them over to the other side of the road to avoid the peace officer on the side. Now, yes, I would cause another incident, but it wouldn't be impossible for me to avoid the officer. So I think I understand your intent. I think it's just a semantics issue and that the bill's good the way it is.
I think I would come down on whether that word enhances the safety of the officers that are doing something on the road or not. And in this case, impossible seems to benefit the police officers or the emergency service workers. So I would be inclined to keep a word that is to their benefit rather than to strip out a word that is subjective. Is it something that you care to object to vigorously?
No.
Okay. Then... with that, I'd entertain a motion to move House Bill 102.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill number 102-25-LS0399/A with attached physical notes, which are zero, and individual recommendations.
Thank you, Vice Chair Dahlstrom. Any objection? Seeing none, without objection, House Bill 102 passes from committee. And we have before us again House Bill 117, so that brings us back to and at ease. We're good. You guys? Okay. House Resources is back in session.
Mr. Chairman, you look good in this. You look good in this room, Mr. Chairman.
I get a headache in this room. The House Judiciary has reconvened in the Resources Room. We are delighted to be back on the record with House Bill 117 back in front of us. We have available for. Testimony, McHugh Pierre and Tam Cook with Ledge Legal that we will come back to in just a moment. First, McHugh, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you for being patient with us. We had a new sound system that was installed in the Judiciary Room over the weekend, and we're still working the bugs out. We are ready to go now. Please introduce yourself for the record and tell us what...
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. My name is McHugh Pierre. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and I'd like to comment quickly on HB 117. Let me first of all thank all of you for your time and for your patience today, and I'd like to thank Mr. Tom Wright as well for his help. We feel the way HB 117 is currently written, it has the possibility to restrict the department and the governor from moving forward in cases of not only natural disaster, but also human-related possible terrorist or enemy attack-type disasters on our state. And by opening up the ability to include AS 2620040 and 2623020, that would certainly help the department be able to respond more quickly and protect the citizens of our state. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony, McHugh. Representative Gruenberg, I know that you have a concern, and so my question is whether your questions are directed toward the bill sponsor or toward McHugh. Who do you think is more appropriate?
Well, let me ask Mr. McHugh, okay. Mr. Pierre.
Mr. Pierre.
Through the chair. Do you happen to have those two sections in front of you, Mr. Pierre?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, yes, sir.
Okay. It looks to me, and I think the members have those in their packets, that the only subsection in either one that authorizes a proclamation for a special session is in 020K.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the proclamation would have to be issued under that subsection for either of those two sections. And if you wanted for some reason to allow another type of proclamation, those two sections themselves would have to be amended. Probably, possibly we should ask Tam Cook this question too, but I think technically the proclamation has to be issued under 020K. Because nothing else in those two sections authorizes the governor to issue a proclamation. Am I not correct?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, I'd like to say that I see what you're where you're coming from, but I also foresee that if there is the possibility or if there is the occurrence of a man-made terrorist-type enemy threat disaster, and for some reason the governor needs to call a special session, I would hate to see this hinder the ability to do that.
Mr. Chair, through the chair. This is a drafting question, Mr. Pierre, that I think it is the intent of subsection K that that's the only independent ability of the governor to call a special session. I don't think that anything else in there authorizes him to do so except his plenary powers, which are not limited. The governor or herself can call a special session for any reason, not just an emergency. And I think what you're saying is something that would be more in the line of a conceptual amendment. And if we're going to hear from Tam Cook, the question would be whether we will need to amend 040 and 020 or this bill to give the governor power to call a special session. This bill it wouldn't make any sense if we said unless the proclamation is issued under 020 or 040, because nothing in there, we'd also have to amend those sections themselves. I don't have a problem in doing it, Mr. Chair, but I think that it would have to be a conceptual amendment that would authorize her to call a special session not only under K but under anything else in there. And I think we'd have to do that, actually.
Tom?
Mr. Chairman, I truly agree with Representative Grunberg's assessment. If you look under subsection K, subsection K2A, the governor convenes a special session of the legislature within 5 days after declaring the condition of disaster emergency, which could be virtually anything under these statutes, or within 5 days after providing a financial plan. He is correct that this is the only place within that statute or within 2620040 that deals with the calling of a special session. And although we wouldn't have any objection to including 2620040, basically I feel it's covered under 2623 under subsection K 2A.
Tom, if I understand, then we would... when we offer these amendments, we would do it conceptually, and that would smooth this out. Is that right?
Well, again, thinking back on what Representative Grunberg said, Mr. Chairman, this is the only statute that deals with a calling of a special session. And I think he is correct that we may have to amend, and I'll leave that to Tam Cook to answer, sir, but 2620040 really doesn't relate to the calling of a special session, and there's only one place in statute under the disaster statutes that does relate to calling a special session.
Representative Grunberg.
Yeah, on this point, if I may.
Yes.
The sub K up at the beginning in 040 only authorizes the money to be spent to cope with an incident under subsection H, which is at the bottom of the preceding page, or subsection I, which is at the top of that page. It doesn't deal with anything except disasters, and subsection 040 is much broader than that. It deals with terrorist attacks in sub A, threats of enemy harm and things like that, that is something that's not the title of that's the catch line isn't really accurate there, I don't think, but 020 is only disaster emergencies.
Okay.
I do think that we're going to have some.
Okay, well let's just manage our way into a particular direction. Are there any more questions for McHugh Pierre? I don't think so. McHugh, we thank you for staying with us this afternoon, and appreciate your service to the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Tam Cook, is Tam with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Tam. How was your weekend?
Very fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good. Tam, we have a couple of specific questions for you at this point. Representative Grunberg is being very constructive this afternoon, and we thank him for that, and I mean it, and in helping us with making a determination for why you would designate or within 1 hour after the first house is adjourned, and the second point would be in addressing the 26.20040K. And if you could help us on those two points.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, if I may.
Please.
Through the chair. Let's take, Tam, you heard what McHugh just.
Which, Representative Grunberg, which point are you speaking to first?
On the disaster stuff.
Okay, so we're taking up the second issue, which is the substitute language and dealing with the K provision. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Did you just heard Mr. Pierre's testimony?
Yes, sir, through the chair.
As I read it, 020 covers things that are not in 040 and vice versa. They're separate subjects, generally, are they not?
They appear to be separate to me, and 020K is even limited as to what the point of the special session is that would be called. It has to do, I think, with the legislature ratifying a financing plan.
Yeah, that's the way I read it, too. And the governor may want a special session to do other things as well, distributing food and fuel, suspending statutes, and doing things that deal with terrorist attacks. And actually, this isn't, I don't know that you want to get it. I don't think this is kind of a backdoor way of getting into the issue of these two statutes, which we've, Representative Lynn and I, have dealt with for years, and I know Mr. Wright has in the past too. But the question is, I think what we want to do is to give the governor broad authority in the event of these kinds of emergencies to call a special session without waiting 30 days.
Okay, that's fine.
That would take some additional drafting, would it not?
Indeed, that goes beyond the current subject of the bill, but it's not something that can't be addressed.
I would ask through the chair,
yes.
Mr. Wright, am I correct that the bill sponsor would want us to cover that in this bill, would he not?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg, that is correct. If we need to have a cross-reference. My question would be, though, if I may, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Under subsection K, Tam, 2A, It says the governor convenes, I know this deals with financing, but this in itself to me is somewhat broad, where it says the governor convenes a special session of the legislature within 5 days after declaring the condition of disaster emergency, or within 5 days after providing a financing plan. And I know that this deals with the financing, but that subsection to me seems pretty broad, and, you know, whether a financing plan is available or not, that the governor can call a special session within 5 days after declaring that disaster.
Yes, it has to do with the power of the governor to make the expenditures ahead of time, though.
Okay.
And the governors and the legislatures need to ratify that. But certainly, if it is the wish of the committee, the reasons for the 5-day notice could be expanded to deal with any disaster related topic.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the members need to look up a little higher on that page. The original paragraph under K, the only basis for expenditure of funds is for an incident under H or a disaster under I. And those, as I read them, do not involve the terrorist kind of activities as in 040. They deal with the disasters in 020. Am I not right through the chair, Ms. Cook?
I believe you are correct.
So if I may continue, Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg, you're doing an excellent job this afternoon.
I think if we're going to cover things, number one, other than the expenditure of money under 020, he may or she, for example, may wish to call a special session for other actions that she may want to take in dealing with disasters and or other actions or any actions to deal with terroristic things under 040. We're going to have to do some additional drafting in this bill to allow her to do that within the 30 days. We're only talking now about not having to wait 30 days. If there's an enemy at our door, we don't want Governor Palin to have to wait 30 days to call a special session. She should be able to get us into session immediately. And so I think we do need to broaden this a little bit to allow her to do that. Is that, I think?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg, I'd like to see the language before saying that this is something we want to do, because we don't want to broaden the powers so wide that, we're giving the governor. I mean, the governor basically has at his or her discretion the power to call the legislature into special session at any time for any need the governor sees fit. Now, whether it's in that 30-day or the 5-day 5-day period, that is the question to me.
This is Tam Cook through the chair. May I make a remark?
Please, Tam. Thank you.
I think the point of subsection K always was to require that the governor call a special session if the governor elected to make the expenditures, and to require that the special session occur within the short time period of 5 days. Unless, of course, the legislature was already in session and had approved the financing. So K always was more of a spear than a shield, in that it said, look to the governor, you may spend the money, but if you do, we need to become in session fairly rapidly to deal with the situation. The other things that can come up that may cause a governor to call a special session have never had a special time period such as K does, in that right now under the regular statute it would have applied so that the governor would be required by statute to give 15 days notice. I will observe that despite that statute, we have a fairly long recent history now of the governor convening the legislature in special session without complying with a 15-day notice when the legislature has been in town anyway, and therefore there was no need to travel. And I believe the governor's position is that that the governor has a constitutional right to convene a special session that cannot be limited by a 15-day notice if there's particularly where there's really no good logical reason for the 15-day notice. My guess is that any governor confronted with a disaster emergency would invoke that constitutional power and convene the legislature in session with far less than a 15-day notice or even a 30-day notice if the statute were to be changed.
Tam, it's Jay Ramirez. It seems to me that we're contending with two issues. One is that we want to try and honor the bill sponsor, Speaker Harris's, intent to allow citizen legislators to better manage their affairs during normal times. And secondly, we don't want to set up a situation by mishandling Section K kind of at all and create a situation like we have with the Board of Regents right now at the university. Am I grasping the issues that we're trying to contend with here?
I think you are, yes. As it happens, as a drafting manual, Representative Gruenberg was quite correct when he remarked that the only reason we've gotten into this discussion about O2OK is that that happens to be a statute that provides a different time period, notice time period, that the governor is to adhere to.
When we touch K, because what we're talking about is deleting K and adding in 040, we're trying to merge different statutes that cover different time frames. Is that correct?
All that is necessary really is the public policy decision of whether we wish to particularly articulate various different areas that the governor may have where he does not or she does not have to give the 15-day notice, such as K, which is the only example that exists now. So I can either draft it to allow for a 5-day notice for any matter coming up under 020 or under 040, for example, if that's the desire of the committee.
What is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I would agree with the last statement by Ms. Cook that we allow under the provisions of 2623.020 and 2620.040.
Okay. Tam, these are the wishes of the bill sponsor. If you would draft accordingly, please.
Okay. I can do that.
All right. Representative Gruenberg?
Just a question. In this day and age where things may move very quickly, in 020K, it requires 5 days. Might we want to even shorten that period? And I'm asking Mr. Wright through the chair.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the statute says within 5 days, so that could be any time period within that 5-day period. So.
Tam, you have your instructions regarding the K provisions. Now can we ask you, please, to give us your reasoning for within 1 hour after the first house is adjourned, and we'll bear in mind that we're going to see some redrafted language, and we'll revisit this on Wednesday with the intent of moving a House bill from committee at that time. So if you can help us with the one-hour provision, and then we will close public comment, we will then revisit your drafting on Wednesday, I think. Representative Gruenberg. Just, 1 second, Tam. Representative Gruenberg.
Just so I understand, the phrase is within 1 hour after the first house has adjourned.
Yes, we're going to take up that issue, and I'm just kind of giving everybody kind of just ring-fencing a little bit what we're going to do with House Bill 117. I feel like using that word ring fencing here in committee because I'm channeling it, Representative Samuels.
It's in the room.
All right, Tam, if you can give us your rationale for the within 1 hour language, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The problem that I was confronted with was what do we do so that the individual legislators are not inconvenienced by special sessions which they have not had the opportunity to plan for. That's the project. And it's my understanding that if the legislators are in Juneau already and don't have to make travel plans, it was felt that that would be an acceptable situation where legislators could forego with a notice requirement for a special session. The yep. problem is, what do we do when one of the houses has adjourned but the other has not? Do we make the governor give 30 days notice in that case, or do we give the governor some time period within which he might reasonably catch the legislators from the early adjourning house before they make their way to the airport? That's the idea of the 1 hour, the extra 1 hour. There's no particular reason why that phrase could not be deleted, if indeed it is the will of the committee that the governor give 30 days unless he can or she can provide a proclamation while both of the houses are in session.
Okay, and just to repeat for my benefit, because I'm a fan of repetition, what was the purpose of the project? What is the nature of the legislation again?
The nature of the legislature, as I understand it, Mr. Chair, is that the legislators desire to be protected from the inconvenience of special sessions when they do not have enough notice to make arrangements in their lives to travel down to Juneau. They may need to make arrangements to deal with children, with business, etc., and that the 30-day period would make that process easier on legislators than the current 15 days does.
Okay, so we understand the scope of the scope of the bill, and now we're addressing this particular thorny piece of it. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm concerned about is that if one house adjourns a little before the other house, the governor may not know whether a key piece of legislation is going to pass. And the thing that I would like to see, even if it means some inconvenience to a few legislators, I think it's more important that the state's business be properly conducted and that the additional inconvenience of having to wait 30 days be avoided in that circumstance. I would feel more comfortable if it was within 1 hour of the second house having adjourned so that the governor would know what had been passed.
Okay.
And I assume that that could be accomplished. Okay.
And that's acceptable to the bill sponsor?
Mr. Chairman, that would be acceptable.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that specific point around the table, Representative Samuel?
I would agree. As long as they can call it right then, I don't want to, for me personally, and I probably would think.
Go ahead. Feel free to speak for me.
Mr. Chairman, if we adjourned on the 1st of May and had to come back the 1st of June, I would rather have just stayed in May since I'm already here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rather than wait, I mean, we adjourn, and then if you have to wait 30 days, then if you don't accomplish it, you could end up wasting your entire summer because you can't block your time up into blocks. If I'm here, I'd rather stay here and be done with it.
Plus housing.
Right.
That is just
Although in this case we're really just discussing 15 or 30 days, because as you say, for the governor to keep us in continuous special session is less difficult because they can issue a call. The governor can issue a call while we're still in session. Mr. Wright.
Mr. Chairman, and Tam, please correct me if I'm wrong. The longest time period you'd have to wait then for that special session to be called under Representative Grunberg's scenario would be 3 days. Is that not correct?
This is Tam Cook, and through the chair, I'm not sure I understand the thrust of that comment, because it seems like it presupposes that one house is adjourning early enough so that we don't hit a session limit, and the second house can force the first house back in. If that happens, that's not a special session issue, because the second house or the house that first adjourned would be forced into the original session.
Mr. Chairman, what I was referring to is 3 days is the longest that one body can be out of session while the other body's in session, unless you pass a concurrent resolution asking for a recess of longer than 3 days. So if a House adjourns, for example, 5 days before the end of session, on the 116th day. The Senate goes in for the 121st day. The Senate continues. The House, does it not have to come back on the 118th day?
You're nodding your head, Representative Gruenberg?
That's correct.
Okay. So the table concurs with that point of view that the greatest inconvenience would be 3 days for the first body that adjourned while waiting to see if the governor called a special session within 1 hour of when the second body adjourned. Is everybody's nodding their head for the record.
Mr. Chairman, you said that more succinctly than I.
Thanks. It's hard to say something better than you, Tom. I thank you for that. Representative Gruenberg.
I would move that amendment.
All right. Let me close. Let me close public comment. Does anybody else have any questions for Tam Cook on this particular issue? Anybody else here wish to testify? All right. With that, public comment is closed on HB 117. And so what we'll do, Representative Gruenberg, is we'll move this particular amendment, leave the bill in that condition, and then wait to see Tam Cook's drafted language on the K provisions and come back, debate that as necessary, and move the bill. Is that what you're thinking, Representative Gruenberg?
May I make the amendment?
Yes.
Okay. I would move on page 1, line 8, change the word first to second.
Any objection to amendment number one? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. Are there any other amendments excluding the K provisions? With that, then, I think we will adjourn for the day, and we'll take this bill up on Wednesday. It is 2:20.